our Heavenly Father in heaven, as we pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, Father, and we are sitting at thy at the feet, O Father, Lord, to learn of you. Father, this time, Lord, as we approach thy word concerning the end time event, we ask the Lord, help us to understand, and then also, Lord, to keep watchful for what we are looking for, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we commit all things to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to look at you to look at the chart. Today I'm going to deal with World War III. Now there is still yet three more wars to be fought before we enter into the eternal age. The next war that we fought is the Third World War. Now, we already had the First World War, the Second World War, and we're going to have a Third World War coming up. Which, of course, we find in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, 39. And it is commonly entitled by many of preachers, they call it the Battle of Ezekiel 38, 39. Okay? Then the other war that we fought, we have, the war that we fought that is coming up is over here. Alright, right here. This is the war of the Battle of Ezekiel 38, 39. Alright? Then after this war, this is actually a Third World War. After this war, the next one to be fought is after the tribulation, and this is known as the Battle of Armageddon. And this is the one that a lot of people talk about, and they can mix up this one with the one that is coming in Ezekiel 38, 39. This is the next second one, and the third and final one would be right here. Alright? After the 1,000 year reign of Jesus Christ. Alright? Now, okay, let us go back to the first chart. Before I go into this 70th week of Daniel, alright? I have to deal with this battle of Ezekiel 38-39. And then I want to deal with also the final trump. So that we can see what we are looking ahead of us before the age goes and enter into Daniel 70 week when God deals with the children of Israel. Alright. You are familiar with that, huh? Okay. So now go to your Bible, to the book of Ezekiel 38. This will be the book, this will be the two chapters we will use today. Ezekiel 38 and 39. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief queen of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief queens of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put a hook into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thy enemy, and all the army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now, we want to look at what here the Bible describes. I want to pay attention to the word here. This chapter on the battle of Ezekiel 38-39, back in the 60s, 70s, or even the 80s, very few people believe. Very few Bible students or preachers actually believe that this battle is to be fought before the coming of the Lord. Many have confused this battle with the battle of Armageddon or even the battle of what they call Gog and Magog, as mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 20. Alright, now just for your information, go to Revelation chapter 20. And look at that verse so that you understand what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter 20. You know, the Bible said that after, in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So now, many have even confused that this battle of Ezekiel 38-39, because the word Magog and Gog are used here in these two chapters, they think that it is the same battle as the one mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. Okay, so they are throwing Ezekiel over into the future, past the tribulation, past even the millennium of 1,000 years, the reign of Christ. Okay? And some even think that Revelation 20 is to be brought forward into Ezekiel 38, 39, and then it describes the same battle, but they see, they realize that when the Bible mentions 1,000 years, it doesn't make sense. Alright, so there is a conflict now that there are still quite a number of people. Many actually have come to realize that this battle must be fought before the coming of Christ. But there are still those who take this battle of Ezekiel 38, 39 over into Armageddon, that is after the tribulation. Now, we want to look at it carefully to examine, to find out this battle. Where is it fit into the timeline, in the chart that we have, or in the timeline of God's Word? Alright? It is clear in the Bible where it's supposed to be. Alright, now, first of all, we want to establish what the Spirit of God prophesied through Ezekiel in the way that he used those words. We need to understand that this was prophesied thousands of years ago. So the boundary of the earth, of the nation of the earth, the political boundary of the world today changes ever so often. You all know that, don't you? Okay? So we need to understand that when you refer to something in the Bible here, we need to actually know where it is actually pointed to. First of all, right now, let's look at verse 2. Some men turn their face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, it is generally believed that Gog and Magog are pointed to the north. Now, we know that Gog is actually one of the sons of Reuben. Alright? One of the sons of Reuben, who was one of the 12 sons of Isaac. And Magog came from the descendant of the Japhetic line. But that is not important actually, because we know the civilization start there. And we know in history, in the Bible, where civilization started, right? And how that Abraham came down from Mesopotamia, you know, and how did God call him to the land of Canaan. But before that, there was this empire of Nimrod, who tried to start the building of a great tower that reached to heaven and create his own religion to prevent people from migrating. But God confronted their tongues, so the people migrated to spread out from there over into the north. Right? Into Europe, into the north, down into the south, into Africa, down into the east, which of course they migrate over. I mean, we have the Chinese over there, of course, in China. But by that time already, we see in the Bible, everything that deals in the Old Testament is dealing with the children of Israel. They're all in the Middle East, and concerning the Mediterranean region, and the north, and the south, Egypt, Syria, Assyria, as you know. Right? Then we have the Saudi Arabian peninsula there. Ethiopia. So all these regions that's mentioned there in the Bible at that time is all in that area. Nothing to do with China side or the Indian side. Okay? So now, there's something here that I want you to notice. It says, set thy face against God, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesied against it. First of all, we know that Meshach and Tubal is actually a word that relates to Moscow and Tobush, which has this link to those two places of Russia. Now, there are people that don't believe that Russia is involved here, because after all, Meshach and Tubal, the civilization started all the way up there in Turkey. But there is something I want you to notice here. Look at it carefully. Here we have, in verse 3, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Just like in verse 2. The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal.
Now, when the Bible said Gog, there is something I want you to know. It is not about a person. A lot of prophetic preachers said that Gog referred to the president or the head of Russia. Magog means the land out there. No, I want to differ, and I want to show you why I differ from this thinking. Gog is not about the president or the head out there. It is about a spirit. Gog has been identified as the anti-God spirit. Magog means the people of that land. Now, we know that the biggest anti-God spirit that ever exists, even to this day, has always been from the north, Russia. Isn't it? Yes. There has always been. When the Bible deals with it, it doesn't talk about China. It's always talking about the north of Israel. So God is talking about this. How do I know? Well, let's look at the word again carefully. I want you to know this. It says here in verse 3, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. It's a spirit, anti-God, of the northern nations out there, which is Russia. The land out there, not just Russia in itself. Because back then, Russia didn't exist. It's the area that's out there, there's always been an anti-God spirit. Now, we said the chief prince. Now, in the Bible, whenever you talk about prince, if you do a search, the prince of this land, the prince of that land, the prince of the kingdom, it's always never a chief prince. Now I want to show you something. Go to the book of Daniel. Alright? Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. And verse 13. Now, watch it. Here was the visions of Daniel. And how that there was Michael that came to him. Is that right? You remember this vision? Now you better read the Bible. Else you would know. Right. Now it says here how that... Okay, let's start with verse 12. Then say he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to change... Chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Who is this prince? It's not talking about the living prince. Okay? Do you understand? It's talking about a spirit. But watch again, I want you to notice this when always used the word chief, huh? Or the mighty, or someone that refers to that. It's talking about a spirit prince. Okay, angelic prince. He's not talking about the human side. Okay? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. And Lord Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Do you remember? You understand that? Whenever I imagine a chief prince, he's talking about a spirit. Do you know that Michael was a chief prince? Gabriel was also a chief prince. So who withstood Michael when he came to help Daniel understand? There was an evil spirit who is a chief prince that withstood against Michael. There is war in heaven. Remember. Right? Sure. You're an angel fighting, huh? Okay? Okay, now, go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Here's another. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of David. You see the word the great prince? Huh? Okay, but when you talk about the prince of such a kingdom, they're just a prince, they're never a chief prince. But when you use the word chief mighty prince, you use it refer to, you know, a spirit out there. Not just to look at the word. So here, God, oh God, the chief prince of Meshach is pointing to a God, an antichrist spirit. A spirit that is demonic, that caused people to become antichrist. Well, what do you think? What controls the papacy? What controls papacy? Money? No. It's a spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Huh? So when you talk about, oh God, the chief priest of Meshach and Tubal. It means that, and you know the word, the land of Magog means anti the people of that land. The land Magog means the people who are anti-God, influenced by this God spirit. That is what I want you to really understand. Okay, those who live out there who is under an anti-God influence. Now what make the people extreme jihadists? I mean, jihadists are extreme. What's the difference between the moderate Muslim and those extremists? What control the kind of people, what still control these jihadists to believe that, you know, they go around killing people? You know, suicide bomber, you know, make themselves suicide bomber and then just blow up people's in a mall, on the roadside, or bus stop. What controls them? It's a spirit. You know. And so I always tell you all to remember this. That if your spirit is not controlled by God, you can be opened up to the spirit of the devil. Okay? Alright, let's go on. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaw. I will bring thee forth and all the armies, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in all sorts of armor. Even a great company in buckler and shield, all of them handling swords. So now here is a prophecy of God to through Ezekiel concerning the battle that is to come. That God says that I'm going to bring you down. And you know it is God's dealing with people. Everything happened in this world was a drama play out. Huh? You understand? But the foreknowledge of God. And God can do whatever He wants to. As you know, we know the Bible says He is the potter, we are the clay. You know. And as you said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hid. You see. And even after Jesus has to choose a disciple who is the son of perdition to serve a purpose. You know. So He's going to bring these people down. A great army. But back in those days, remember this, the description is only to the visions and the language shown to the prophet and the people of that time. You understand? So what did you hear described? Not just mere horses, bow and arrow, a shield and buckle, huh? No. It's all talking about what we have modern day warfare. So you have to imagine as to an army truck. Sherman tank, whatever tank, airplanes, all coming down. Alright, let's go on. Verse 5. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Goma and all his band, the house of the Goma of the north quarters and all his band, and many people with it. Now let us look at the map. Look at the first map, and at least that we have an understanding of this description here. Now here is what we have. Goma and all that of the north quarter, as described here, we know, is all actually up in Turkey. And then we have Persia. Persia, we know, is Iran. But Iran, of course, today this is the border. But Persia at that time is big. It probably included Afghanistan and Pakistan. As you know, boundary changes, huh? Alright? Okay. So, yes, Meshach and Tubal, which is, of course, Russia, Moscow, Tobolsk. That's the region up there in the north. Here's Israel, pointing up to the north. Okay. Then he says, you also, Ethiopia. Ethiopia is not a good translation. When you translate Ethiopia in the Bible, it should be translated Kush, the Kushite. And the Kushite people are all in this area, down in the south. Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan, you know, the region of Kodis is just the map of today. So, but this is the region that the Kushite migrated to. You understand that? Okay, then we have Libya. Well, Libya is still living here, but in those, at the other time it's called Put. Alright, but this is the modern name, Libya, and the Bible translated Libya. Okay, and then we have Goma, which is Turkey, and all his band, the house of the Goma, which is Asiatic, all up here. All right? And many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee. Be thou a God unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nation, and they shall dwell safely on them. Now, you look at, in history, God, or history, well, now as far as Bible history is concerned, from the very beginning of time, Israel have always been under attack by other nations round about them. But there are altogether seven empires, seven kingdoms that will always come against Israel. Or some of them already, well, in the past, but they still are in history. Even today, they still exist. What is the first? Okay, let us go to the book of Revelation. Keep the map here. Let us go to the book of Revelation. And let us look at the beast that came out of the sea in chapter 12 anyway. Revelation chapter 12. And then appeared a great wonder in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown and 12 stars. She bring forth a male child, being with child travailing in faith, in birth, and pain to be delivered. And then appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, or to devour her child as soon as it was born. So now, here is the description of this great dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, waiting to devour the woman who was about to devour the child. The woman represents Israel. Okay? The man child that was to be delivered, brought forth, was none other than the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Okay, now, these 7-headed beasts seek to destroy Israel. So what we have now, there are seven. What is the first empire that you know that come again? Yes, Israel. It's Egypt. Alright, now even today, even what we see in the book of Ezekiel, Egypt is not mentioned, but Egypt is here. But Egypt to this day hated Israel. You know what? The spirit never died. Okay? But we know that in Ezekiel 38:39, all this large army, they are comprises of allied nation with this spirit from the north. Just as we have the allies, America, NATO, is that right? So we have that also with Russia. Most of this country are allied with Russia. Did you see that? Okay. So that is not mentioned in Egypt in Ezekiel 38:39, but you'll find later that somehow or other all these Arabic nations will come against Israel. They will join as a big force. Okay? So what is the second head? Assyria. Assyria is Syria today, up there in the north here. Alright? Which today, as you can see, Syria is still against Israel. The next one, of course, is Babylonian. Babylonian is, Grecian spirit, Hellenistic spirit, Romanic spirit. And yet in Europe today, there are still some of those nations that, you know, wanted to put down Israel. The spirit never dies, depends how much it controls. The next one is Medo-Persia. Of course, there is Iran. We have And then we have the Grecian, which is the same as we said, the Middle Persian, the Chinese, the Spaw. Then the last thing is Roman. And then the Roman, Holy Roman Empire, the Catholic Church. Which, of course, this is what they will do over in the tribulation to come, or in the 70th week of Daniel. Okay, now let's go back to Ezekiel 38. So now it says that they are without prepared, and thou thyself and all the company that are assembled unto thee without great God unto them. So the prophecy is on already. We see that. He says, after many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. What is the land that is brought back from the sword? It is identified as Israel. In the latter days, he's not talking about the future. Okay, in the latter day, that is the day when Israel will have to see the coming of the Messiah. Because these are all the preparation here. Now this is one battle that is to be fought for one reason. And you can find the reason in these two chapters later on. Alright? God wanted this battle to be fought for one reason. And the reason you'll find here later on. Alright? You see here. Into a land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountain of Israel which have been always waste. Remember, before Israel went back in 48, the land was nothing but desolate. Desert. You know how the Israel was dispersed in 70-80? All those Turks and all those barbarians, what you want to call them, and the palace, what they call the Philistine, they were there. The Arab, they were there. The land was never cultivated. They were laid waste. And you know, when the land is not cultivated, what do you think grow out there? Nothing but weeds. You know, and later on become a desert. But now, after 48, when Israel came back, the Bible said the land brought them like a rose, and it did. And in the past, fruits came from there. It's a beautiful land. And that's why the Jew is always proud to be a Jew. You know that? And a lot of Christians who love the Jew identify the Jews. They went over there, they said the land is, they haven't seen beautiful land as anywhere else. And yet, all around the land of Israel, there's trouble, there's battle, there's war, there's always terrorism at work. Alright. And it says here, but it is brought forth out of the nation, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. They all came from different places, right? Remember, they were dispersed, the Jews were dispersed, so they all went back in 48 to build their nation. Jews from Europe, Jews from Russia, Jews from America, Africa, China, they all went back to build their land. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and there shall be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. How, I don't know how many, how big will the armies be? With all these people coming out to fight. Of course, not all the Russian people come to fight, only the soldiers. You understand? Not all Syria will come down to fight. Not all Libya will come down. Only the soldiers. We're talking about the political military power. You understand? They will come. Thus said the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of the unwalled villages. I will go to them that I rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now, this is a friend of mine, you know, well-known Presbyterian, friend of mine, I'll argue. You don't tell me that this place is to be fought before the coming of the Lord. Say, yeah. No, it cannot be, because the Bible here says, in verse 11, I will go out to the land of unwalled villages. Hey, go to Israel, Richard, go to Israel. You'll find that they have a lot of walls around the city. You all know the walls, they are built 8 meters tall. What was the war for? To separate those fanatics over in the other side of the demarcation line, you know, from going over there and throwing bombs or whatever over the Israel side. So the end of the war was to prevent that. But that is not what we're talking about, war of villages. Today, let me tell you. When China built the Great Wall, what was it for? To prevent the enemies from, yeah, the Mongols and Attila, the Huns and whatever barbarians out there coming against China, right? They have this wall. Correct. So the people in China are safe. But today, do you think the wall you have any use for it? No matter how high your wall can go up, 1 kilometer up, 10 kilometers up, do you think you will prevent any attack? A missile goes up, shoo, boom, that's it. You understand what I mean? Here is an illusion, an expression that they live in peace. They want to live in peace and war. People are free allowed to go in and out. You know, Israel is the only country. They don't have any refugees. You know that? And they have a lot of Arabs living in their land. And they have free, equal rights to everything that the land of Israel provides. Do you know that? Healthcare, job security. Israel don't regard you as whether you are a Jew or not. If you choose to be a citizen there, you have every right, whether you're Chinese or you're Indian. But look at the amount of Arabs. They are fooling around the world, they don't have a place to stay. Because why? All those Arabic land nations, they do not want to accept them. Oh my. You know, sometimes you wonder what's wrong with this. Something wrong. There's something wrong. Some spirit has taken a hold of people like that. You see. So this is Israel. A war of villages. They are at rest. Of course, they still, of course, though when they say at rest, doesn't mean that in the sense that they can just shake it. So this one of I say, you see, this cannot be here. It's still in the future, in the millennium. I say, millennium? He's referring to the battle of Gog and Magog in the chapter 20 of Revelation. Because what? The 1,000 years of peace, you see? And then God come and attack Israel. Is that what he said? That's when you don't rightly divide the word of God, you have a problem. Okay. Now let's continue to understand. Verse 12. To take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thy head upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. That are now inhabited. Okay, not in the future. In the future, the whole world will be beautiful. Okay, he's talking about this desolate land. This one particular piece of land. And they are now inhabited, and upon the people that get out of the nation, which have gotten cattle and goods, and they are dwelling in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tashi, with all the young lion. Alright, Sheba and Dedan. Okay, let us look at the map and see. In the second map. And we'll see, look at Tashi. Now, Tashi and the young lion. Now, when you say Tashi, Tashi actually refers to Spain. But in those days, back then, you know the civilization started all in what you call Mediterranean area. So there's a lot of merchant, a lot of trading between islands and all along the coastline. Okay? So we got maritime nations. Maritime little coastal nations. And the young lion, of course we realize that after that, it then refers to that in the world we see, go back to history, 50s, in 1950 or early 20th century. The British, they actually went all over the world by ship to conquer. Right? And hold a lot of land. Look, just think, Singapore, Penang, India, Sri Lanka, Mauritius, Seychelles, Dalton, Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, all the Practically, you look at all these islands are all taken up by the white man, the Congo. So when you say the Pashi and the Yang Lai refers to these British, they're actually originally having trade around that area. Even to this day, there's a lot of trading with this, all these Arabic countries. Either it's the oil issue or the food issue, whatever, they're always having a lot of trade. Alright, now he says Shiba and Dedan. That is the Arabic nation. Okay? And, well, the Dedan is right here, Saudi Arabia. This Dedan is Asia, this is Shiba. So these are all referring to the Arabic nation and the area around there. Okay, and it says here, and shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to take away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, take a great spoil? So now here you're talking about them coming down to this region. These people are asking this. This relationship, you know what, today, you know, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and some of those other Arabic nations that have relationship with the white man. America, right, Europe, you're familiar, isn't it? Remember in the days of Saddam Hussein, somebody set fire out there, I don't know where is it, was it Qatar or one of those Arabic nations? You all remember?
Kuwait.
Kuwait, yeah. You see, they're all this is still related over with the British. So now, they have been asking this question about, you know, Russia may come down, supporting Sudan, supporting some other, you know, Syria, Lebanon, those Hamas out there, the Hezbollah, okay, and even Iran, they are supporting weapons. Supporting them with weapons to fight a battle that is coming. So all the world, they have been fighting all these little battles. Terrorism at work, bombing, and all that stuff. You know. But what was the intention of all those countries, all these countries out there in the north, especially in the north, coming down? What are they coming down to Israel for? Do you know that Israel has a lot of mineral? And the mineral is worth a lot of millions of dollars? You know, in the Dead Sea. Huh? And you know what? Not very long ago, several years ago, they found a lot of oil just under the coastal line, under Israel's bed. Lots of oil. Just think about it. And you know you have oil, and you think also in the second place, if you control Israel, Israel become the, actually, this area here, Egypt, this area, actually this area here is known as the crossroad of the world. Now here Singapore is the crossroad of Asia. But there is the crossroad of the world. From those in the west, America want to go east, they usually have to cross this way. Those from China want to go west, they cross to this way. So this is actually the central, and this is the place where we know, according to the Bible, according to what we understand, God placed man in this area. Adam was here in the beginning. Think about it, interesting, huh? Why everybody wants this land? Why the whole world, the problem of the world is centered around this place? Why does the whole world of people, hatred the Jew mainly, all those who doesn't love the Bible, or don't love Christ? Huh? When there is a problem of money, they blame the Jew. You don't know that, huh? When there's an ill in the world, they blame the Jew. And yet the hole in the pocket, a technology that belongs to the Jew. Do you know? They see the world watch the television, they don't remember that technology belongs to the Jew. And practically everything you use today as a pump comes from the Jew. Yes. Oh, he said, oh yeah, but the Japanese, they invented this and that. Yeah, we know they invented this and that, but where the technology come from? Huh? You see. Who invented the internet? Who invented your Facebook? You all know. Google, who's behind that? Practically everything that you have are Jewish. And yet, people condemn the Jew. Right, the technology, you thought what the Jew is today, you don't have this technology. But is the technology used for good? That's what Israel intended to do. Medicate, medicine. Their research in medicine, fantastic. Medical technology, unbelievable. They invented that. Singapore improved on it. You know, some of the things Singapore research improved on it. You know. So, you see that? They do it for life. And when there's a disaster in the world somewhere, look at that earthquake in Aceh. When there is ever a disaster, like 911, who will be the first people to go and give aid? The Jew. They believe in humanity. They believe in loving your fellow man. That's what it is. But they will fight for their land. They will kill you for their land if you want to take it. But if you are sick and you're dying, he will help you. Oh, love thy neighbors. Ha ha. Yes? With the Jewish humor and jokes and then, you know, what do you call their spirit, how they react to human life. Alright, let's continue. So they are asking, are you coming down to take the spoil? Obviously they are. Therefore, verse 14, Son of man, prophesy and say unto God, turn to the Lord God. In that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shall thou know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. You see, he's always pointing to the north part. Okay? The north part. Thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company, and a mighty army, riding on horses. Hey, I'm going to go, You don't think about any horses, huh? What horses are there? Mechanical horses. Remember when America first had the railway, you know what they call that railway? What they call that train? How many of you know? The iron horse. They call the railway, the train and the iron horse. So now they're all running on this iron horse, not the train, but the, I'm a truck. Yeah. And the book of Revelation, of course, if you study later on, even the locusts, you know, flying, you know, like, Chinoa, what we have, the Cobra, the Apache, you know, those planes, helicopters. You know. So these are all that is coming down. Alright. And verse 16. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel. You see, he's pointing to Israel, okay, now. Because these are the land that the people are coming down to take. Israel itself, a land that was desolated, thou flourish. The people that come from all different parts of the world, the different Jews that came and built this land. Now the people of the north, the Spirit of God and all his company have come down to take this place, to take this land, to take a sport. Thou shalt come out against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the brethren, that the heathen may know. When I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Now, what's the reason nowadays? Why this battle must be fought? Before, because you know what? The name of Yahweh has not been sanctified. The people out there say, we're going to push Israel into the sea. Right? They are the pariah of the world. They are the scumbag of the world. You get it? And what is Israel? The name Israel came from the Prince of God. El! They're going to throw the people of El! El Shaddai! They are actually spitting upon the name of the God of Israel. All they know is, well, not a Muslim. Allah Akbar. God is great. Now we know God is great. But you see, to the Muslim is Allah. To the Jew, it is Yahweh. Huh? And Yahweh is Al Shaddai. Elohim. Right? Push the prince of El into the sea. And the prince of El is the children of God. Is the children of El Shaddai. You can destroy the people. You can destroy the people. So they saw all of these dead. Condemned that man. So God's name must be sanctified. And he will. Okay, let us go. Verse 17. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that will bring thee against them. Now here this is a verse that many find hard to understand because they don't read it, you know, read any scripture before Ezekiel, where any of the prophets ever prophesied about this God. Alright? So we do not know what prophets were sent out there to prophesy about it, they were not written. But yet there are already prophets in the Old Testament that prophesied against Assyria. Right? You know about it. Babylon and all those who come against Israel. You see. And they are all anti-Israel. That's all we know. But what? Which prophet actually prophesied before Ezekiel mentioned about God? We don't see in the Bible. But I believe that the way that they prophesied is against the anti-Yahweh. Alright? They are against against Yahweh. So it's an anti-Yahweh spirit. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass at the same time when God shall come against the land of Israel, said the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. And in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath have I spoken surely in that day. There shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea, and the fowls of the heavens, and the beasts of the field, and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at thy presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for the sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. The word Lord here is Yahweh. Yahweh, Wahe. So when said, when you come down, I'm going to raise up my fear, and there shall be a great earthquake, there will be a great shaking in the land, that the fishes in the sea will jump. Huh? The animals of the land will be shaken, mountains will fall. I will send out hailstorms, you know, there will be volcanic action. Yeah, volcanic action. You haven't seen it. You talk about Aceh. Huh? You talk about Mount Pinatubo. You read history about Mount Vesuvius. Huh? See how it covers the whole land around about it? You talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, the poor, and that's why the angel told Lord and told his family, run and don't look back. But Lord's wife turned and looked back. Petrified what she saw, but not realizing that what blows up into the air comes down. And all those brimstone and salt covered her instantly and dried up. She became a pillar of salt. Wow. So what's going to happen? Huh? So it will not just be one volcanic action. It will be throughout the whole earth, that will be shocking. The whole earth will feel the shake. Literally. A great earthquake. See? And he says, verse 21, and I'll call for a sword against him throughout all my mountain. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. In a great confusion, they were just not knowing who they're fighting. You know. You call it friendly fire. They kill each other. You all know, right? You get confusion. You all know what happened when you're in the war. You ever see movie and those recollection, the true story about the war, how that when the soldier went for the attack and there was some, you know, confusion because of the whatever is, mortar is flying over here, and they were in confusion. They didn't even realize who they were attacking. And so, they fire coming from that side, they fire back, and they're actually killing their own people. You see. So in this great confusion that they're shaking all these people, but all they might be thinking there's a nuclear bomb, or a missile, or whatever. And God says, that is when all these things will happen. Alright? And the rain upon him is banned upon many people now with the overflowing rain and great hailstone, fire, and brimstones. And I'll magnify myself and sanctify myself. Let's go to verse chapter 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesied against Gog, and said, thou son of the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Still pointing to the north. The Antichrist spirit that hates everything. You know, actually, let me tell you something. Israel will have no problem if they don't attack. If Syria attack. If Jordan attack. Like in the Six Days War. Huh? How many nations fought against Israel in the Six Days War? Oh, I think about six nations, if I'm not mistaken. And Israel broke down the wall. Right? No problem. But here is the anti-God from the north, the spirit from the north. That's God, right? What he says there? The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. The Antichrist spirit, the chief spirit that embraced what's up there in the north, the people, the political politician, so to speak. I don't know, that time back then we thought maybe it's Khrushchev. Maybe it's, who is that man, Gorbachev? Then now we have Putin. We don't know whether he might be the one, or maybe he collapsed and died, something like that. Oh, I don't know. I was told that he's a good Christian. Actually, he's a good Catholic. You know. So we don't know how the Spirit is going to work, who he's going to use. See? So when it comes out, it will happen. And I will turn thee and live. Now, here in the King James Version, I think this is the only Bible version that made this mistake. In the King James Version, you read, and I will turn thee back and live for the sixth part of thee, right? Now, actually, if you, King James Version, King James, the newer version, the New King James Version, and what's the other one? But the latest one, called the Modern King James Version, MKJV, is the one that will translate it right. Like all the other translations. It is read like this. And I will turn thee about and lead thee and will cause thee to come up from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Okay? So, lead by the sixth part of thee is not right. Not correct. There's some words that looks like it was supposed to be six, lead the sixth part, but it isn't. Alright? So God is going to bring them down, and I will smite thy bow out of your left hand, and will cause thy arrow to fall out from thy right. And thou shalt fall upon the mountain of Israel, and all thy bands and the people that are with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, to the beasts of the field to be devoured. So when he comes down, God is going to create a great shaking. God is going to smite their weapons out from their hands. There will be a great confusion. And there, of course, there will be a lot of people that die. Huh? Don't forget the earthquake. Alright? Don't forget. Now, what happened, you say, about what about the plane? If the army comes with planes against Israel, what is to stop them? Now, you think Israel is going to sit idly by? When the army start coming down, the planes start coming, Israel will scramble. They'll scramble their planes. Is that right? Sure. The pilot will go. I mean, and Israel will start to have their own weapons and miss out the fight and start the shooting. But the fact is that when the earthquake started and spewing out all those smoke up into the air.
What happened? If the plane just cannot fly through these ashes, it will spoil the engine. It will burn up also. Okay? So this is the great battle we are seeing, the Third World War. Now, who was involved? We already say that a lot of countries are involved. Libya, the Kushite down, the Europeans down in the south, maybe Sudan and Somalia, Iran, yes, Persia, of course, and if you know recently, I sent you a link on YouTube regarding the 18-minute video regarding this young woman, 23 years old, who voted for Obama, thought that Obama is going to make the change. But in the 18-minute video, she showed how Obama twist and turn his word, the big liars, and how they were saying, oh, I support, I will stand with Israel all the time. But then part of it, in his late administration, he was not really standing with Israel. He's going up at the podium, he said yes, but in his conference, it's another different issue. And the question was asked by the journalists to the White House, to all those advisors that represent Obama's administration. Is Jerusalem the capital of Israel? A-u, a-u, a-u. They don't want to say yes or no. And Netanyahu went up there and says, Jerusalem is not a settlement. It's the capital of Israel. Netanyahu now is rising up better than any of his forefathers, all his forerunners. He's not going to stand out even by. And rumors has gone out that Israel might attack Iran before November election. And when he does that, Obama is going to have a headache. He who curses Israel is cursed. He who blesses Israel is blessed. Never open a mouth against any Jew. Whether it's good Jew or bad Jew, he's still a Jew. Right? Start with the word of God. For it is this word that came to us through Israel. That's why I appreciate what they have done. Just look into their history, look into their life. There are no people like them on this earth. I tell you this. Men, God, people have gone through Holocaust. The many they say, curse God and die. Oh yeah, they are many. But there are those that say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? Next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem. They went back to make the land blossom. And all those big nations, the Ishmaelites, the Edomites, and all those that were from the lineage of Hagar, or whether it be the lineage from Esau. They hated the seed, the true seed of Abraham. You see the way the trouble starts? It started from the same womb. You know what I'm talking about? You see, I was talking about, you see, our enemy is not the outside. It's the enemy is within. It's all those who say, I'm the message. In the womb of Sarah, came from Isaac. Down the line, Jacob. His wife. Not Jacob, Isaac, sorry. In the word of Isaac's wife, sorry. What's the name of Isaac's wife?
Rebecca.
How many children were there? Two. And they were fighting right inside already. You see, it's always right inside. In the womb of Eve, you have Cain and Abel. Always the big brother, always trying to be somebody. Huh? Let's look up. And in verse 5, thou shalt fall upon the open field. When I have spoken it, said the Lord God, I will set a fire on Magog, and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isle. And the Magog is the people of who embrace God's spirit. Alright. And among them that dwell carelessly in the isle, it means the coastal area. Alright, you know there's a lot of this coastal area out there in the Mediterranean, over perhaps the Red Sea area, in the Caspian Sea out there in the coastal area. So the word isle doesn't mean actually islands, it is actually in the proper way it means coastal area. Of course, coastal area usually have a lot of little islands around there, but that's where you have your nations or your people that live there. And as you know that I am the Lord, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. So now in that battle, when God deal with the people that comes down from the north, at the same time Israel would know and now that Yahweh is to come, and you'll no longer pollute that name anymore. They will hold that name more separate than ever before, because why? They're going to see the Messiah pretty soon. And the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One in Israel. You see, God fight for Israel. Our God fight for us. We don't fight for our God. Unless your God is weak. Right? Yeah, you know, sometimes you think about the idol worshipper. Their God is so weak, they sit on the shelf and they have to be carried. They cannot move. You know, sometimes you find it's funny. But people believe in all these things because they are living in darkness. Huh? In India! Whoo! India. I've never seen the mouth of idols in any country. That's in India. That's India. Unbelievable. All kinds. Some of them, hideous. Huh? And some of them, very sexy. They're unbelievable. They worship the kind of gods. You know, and some are very vile. Shit. You know the mind of a human being? Huh? You don't know what you're believing. Worshipping creatures instead of the Creator. We thank God for light. Behold, it is come. And it is done, said the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the city of the Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shield and the buckler, the bows and the arrows and the handstaves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. Now, if the battle is fought here, before the rapture and before the 70th week of Daniel takes place. Okay? Then you know that all those weapons, the tank, they carry fuel. Alright, the missile, whatever they left behind, they will be burned with fire for 7 years as fuel. You understand? Do you understand? It takes 7 years. So, and you say when it burns, it goes all the way into the 7 years. It will be burned during this time. Do you understand? Now, there are those who say that if this battle refers to Armageddon, alright, let's look at Armageddon. Shrink it out a bit. Now, Armageddon is after the 7 years. Right? Now, the battle of Ezekiel 38-39 is the same as the battle of Armageddon. That means that the burning of this, the using of this fuel will enter into what? Into this 1,000 year reign of Christ, isn't it? The millennium. Right? You will go into this. But you won't be. And what about if it is this? Last battle here.
Why should it be burnt? Because the whole earth is burnt up. So it doesn't make sense for that. But let us look some more into this chapter. Verse 10. And so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapon with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, said the Lord. So Israel will use those fuel. Free. They don't have to go to the forest to cut down wood anymore, yeah, for firewood. This is just an illusion of how it is. Because in those days they use firewood. Right? And in those days they have spears and whatever weapon they use, bows and arrow. Okay, they can use that also for fuel. But this is to show us that this what would they do with those tents? You understand? Alright. And verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel. The valley of the passenger on the east of the Dead Sea. The passenger. The valley of the passenger means, the word passenger means what? People who are moving. They are travelers. The word passenger actually is supposed to be translated travelers. The people who move up and down. Okay? On the east of the Dead Sea. The word sea is the Dead Sea. So on the east of the Dead Sea. Now you all know where Dead Sea is. I'm not showing you the map, huh? If you don't know, you are shamed. Shameful. Shameful. You need to know where the Dead Sea is. Okay, is the Dead Sea south of the Galilee or north of Galilee? Come on! No. Okay, you are really smart. if it's in north, oh man, I shall hide my face. Okay. God is going to give Gog, this spirit, or this, the people who follow this spirit, a grave in Israel. It will be on the east of the Dead Sea, and it shall stop the noses of the travelers, and when they shall bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamagog. Now, how do you know? Just imagine the whole land of Israel. Alright? Will be filled with dead bodies. That's why people think that this must be Armageddon. It is. It's just a battle. It's only in this place it rhymes. So, people are traveling out there, they're going to cover their nose because the body is out there. There's so many bodies out there. You know. So it takes time for them to bury the dead. So God gives them a place in the valley of Hamagog to bury the dead. Right? And 7 months shall the house of Israel be bearing of them, and they that they may cleanse the land. 7 months. Wow, they have to, the fuel will be, can be used after 7 years, but the body has to be buried within, you know, 7 months. As far as they can go out there, wearing all the gas masks, because after all, the body have a bad smell, you know. 7 months, just imagine as it continues rotting away. But that 7 months is over, it will be, you see skeletons. No more flesh. Yeah, and all the people of the land shall bury them. All the people of the land, Israel, all people must go and help to bury those bodies. Because why? It's a stench. All around Israel, the land out there around Israel, probably as far north as Syria, and all of this, when they come down, from the south, they have to clear all those dead bodies. Now, you know, when the army fight, not all soldiers will be killed, obviously. Is that, you understand that? Now, the problem is that when people read the word A-L-L in verse 4, and they shall fall upon the Holy Mother in Israel, and all, thou and all thy bands. It means all as in all. Without any exception. Let us know what the mean the word here. You remember Singapore again? All the people of Singapore went to Suntec because there's a great sales. $100 worth of goods selling for $1. So you think all the people of Singapore is going to go there and pack and sell them? It's just an expression. Right? They have one formula, one
was there in Singapore one week ago, and all the people in Israel were there. I mean, just an expression. So that's significant. So it doesn't mean that every soldier would die. Of course, when your tank is falling behind, there's all the shifting going on, you can't move anymore. Right? Sure. So we always have an idea that the word, oh, this has just been a problem. And we just take it for granted. And that's what my friend, the first one tells me. The Bible said, oh, you know. I said, oh, I know. It doesn't mean all as an all inclusive. You understand, huh? I'll reassure you the fact. You see. Okay? That's good. Verse 13. Yea, and all the people of the land shall bury them, and they shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever men out of continual employment. They shall employ men as a job for them. Passing through the land to bury the passenger, those that to bury with the traveler, those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. And after the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passenger that pass through the land, when they see a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it till the burial have buried in the valley of Hamagon. So after 7 months is over, if any traveler pass by, they see a bone up there, okay, they probably make a mark there, and they're going to tell the authority there's a bone there. You can take the bone and bury it. You have to clean the land. Verse 60. And also the name of the city shall be called Hamona. Hamona, which means, what does it mean there? The multitude. The city shall be called Hamona, the great multitude. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, said the Lord God, speak unto every fettered fowl, and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourself and come, gather yourself on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountain of Israel, that ye may eat and drink blood. Mm-hmm. You see that? He said, all the fowl and every beast of the field. So, you know, birds like the vulture, they all very happy for a free meal. The hyena, I don't know what animals are out there, the lions, they have lions on them, but no tigers. Huh? They have foxes and wolves or whatever. You know, they all got free meals. Because when you have this dead body down there, they're free. And you eat to their heart content. They probably got a heart attack. Verse 18, you shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of ram, of lamb, of goats, of bullock, and all of them fattening of a shot. Now, here you probably find it kind of strange, huh? You shall eat the flesh of the mighty man, right? And drink the blood of the princes of the earth, right? All these great soldiers. But he says, of rams, and of lambs, and of goats, and of bullock, and all of them fattening of a shot. No, it doesn't mean that they're animals, and the birds are eating animals. Of rams, and of lambs, and of goats and a bullock, all their family is an illusion, or it speaks of these princes, these great men, okay, as being animals. They themselves as being animals to be eaten. Yeah, in China, there's a big fat commando, a big fat commander. Look at how fat he is, like a real fat pig. So enjoy it. Huh? Then you have the lamb, you see that is the sergeant major, you see. Nice roast lamb for you now. Enjoy it. So these are just the reference, you know. Okay, the birds and the animal will come and eat it. And you shall eat fat till you be full and drink blood. You know why blood? Because why? When the people die and slaughtered, right? Yeah, the blood is flowing out. And a lot of animals and birds love blood too. Huh? So they eat it. Till they be drunk, and I tell you that, they eat to their heart content until they get drunk. This is special, till they are satisfied. You know, when you eat until you are drunk, means that you cannot eat anymore. You drink until you get drunk, you cannot drink anymore. That's what it actually means. And thou be drunken of my sacrifice, which I sacrifice for you.
Thus you shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men of, and with all men of war, said the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord your God from that day and forward. You know, back in the Old Testament time, you know how many times God fought for Israel? Huh? Right? Until the nation realized that, oh, just like this prophet, what is his name? The prophet that tried to prophesy, was told to prophesy lying. Right? Balaam. You know, and you know, no matter how Balaam was telling this, but you cannot fight against this Israel. Right? Because Yahweh is fighting for them. And many of this nation right about that knew when they saw how Israel fought against other nations. Those other nations stay back. They did not raise up their arm against Israel. They know that it isn't Israel to fight. It is their God that fight for them. Right? And I will set my glory among the heathen, and the heathen shall see my judgment, and they have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord your God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquities. Right? So they should know. Many of them do not know, but in that day they will know. They all know, huh? Because their trespass against me, therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness, and according to their transgression, have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore thus said the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. Because why? God has his name in Israel. Right? You see. After that, they have borne your shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely in their land and none make them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' land and am sanctified in that in the sight of many nations. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own lands, and I have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have put out my spirit upon the house of Israel, said the Lord God. From now on and forward, they will know. And God said, I will put out my spirit upon Israel. Remember? Remember that when, after this event, when the rapture is taking place, and that's why I said, in this battle, it has to be a battle that will shake the land. And I believe right about this particular battle, because I cannot place it anywhere else. It will have to be around this time of this battle that this great shaking of the land, that around the ring of fire, around the coastal region, the ring of fire will be activated. I believe it will be activated such that it goes around the world. Then in Christ shall rise. And the seven thunder will fulfill their ministry. Huh? But all the problem that is going on, when the saints are hearing the final words of life, rapturing faith to be given. And in that time, when all the situation, the chaos is going on out there in the world, in the Middle East, nobody knows what is happening to you. Nobody knows, because it's a secret. But we will have our revival. Then after we are gone, that's when the Spirit of God will fall upon Israel from that time on, from this battle forward. And the same two witnesses will come. And then they will witness to Israel. They will give them the gospel that they were looking for. That they will now know the Messiah. And I believe the two prophets will say, don't you see the war that happened before? Who fought for you? None other than the Messiah that you're looking for. He's coming. See that? So I believe this, when we look into the timeline, because the city of California would have to be around that event. Because it cannot come any time after. In the middle, it cannot come in the time of the seventh day of the week. It cannot come in the time after the seventh day of the week. Unless we believe that the church goes through a tribulation. Right? And the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, we thank you for grace again. We thank you for thy word. Thank you for thy word of life, Father. Ask for the grace, O Lord, to be upon your people. And that the hearing of the word, Father, will be received into the heart. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes to your word. We pray, the Father, Lord, that we be very watchful in this hour now, as we are near the end of the journey. We thank you for all that love which you have given us, Father. We thank you, and we bless the holy name. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.